people are afraid of being taxed to high heavens. And so they're just taking the money and going. This is why high taxation culture doesn't work, because poor people are going to be left with the tax burden of Labour's policies. That burden is going to fall on the rest of us because the rich are out of here.
Hello, and welcome to Fox and Father with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father.
A few thank yous.
Yes.
Before we get started. My friend Jeffrey.
Oh, yeah.
Has sent a gift.
That's great. I love that. That's great.
We like this, don't we? We're very grateful for the gifts that you send us. We get these lovely glasses. We've got so many things, and we're so grateful to you all for sending stuff. So big thank yous.
One to Margaret Garvey as well, who sent here a couple of Irish dairy milks, which are better than the American infested English ones we have now, and a couple of cigar cutters. You've got one over there.
Very good.
This is a lovely lady I met at an event last night. I was in Dublin, and she left her house about 7:30 in the morning to get there for the 6 p.m. event, bless her. I love that dedication.
So tell me what's been going on in your life?
Well, I was at a free speech event in Ireland.
Free speech?
Yes.
And how was it?
That's awful.
Was it Northern Ireland or was it Southern Ireland?
It was Southern Ireland.
I'm going to be doing an Irish accent just to annoy you now for the next...
Oh, that's an Irish accent.
Fuck off. I'll swear jar. Okay, so...
My first time in Ireland.
Yeah, first time ever.
Arrive in Dublin at the airport. Before you can even get out into Ireland, you've got to cross the threshold, the spiritual threshold of the trans pride flags emblazoned across the door. You walk outside... And the biggest flag you've ever seen in your life is across the airport, the trans pride child mutilation flag. I went to Ireland with a lot of stereotypes in my mind, right? I thought everyone would do accents similar to yours.
What do you mean? Like, this is a very normal Irish accent. It's absolutely fine. Viewers will point out it's absolutely normal. Okay. And it's pretty damn good, I think.
They're going to compliment you regardless.
Shut up your face.
I thought there'd be priests in full cassocks with saturnos. I thought there'd be nuns on every street corner with a rosary in their hand saying, bless you, my child. I thought there'd be crosses everywhere. You know what I saw?
Trans.
Everywhere.
Fucking everywhere.
The whole city is trans. Child mutilation flags everywhere. I spent 2 hours walking around Dublin trying to find Irish flags. I found two. And one was on the foreign minister's office.
It is strange because you probably have noticed, I've gone back to burning the child mutilation flag. And I just really enjoy doing it because it upsets people so much. And it's a child mutilation flag, therefore it should be burnt. But I've noticed less child mutilation flags in London.
Fewer.
Sorry, sir.
That's all right.
I didn't get a chance to go to school when I was a little boy. I was down the mine, so I didn't get a chance to go to school. I've noticed fewer mutilation flags,
yeah,
which I think is jolly good.
Yes, but the most I've ever seen in my life was in Dublin. It's dominated by them. It's like a captured city.
It's a sign of the fact that the revolutionaries have taken hold.
Well, you know, in their parliament, we went to their parliament to speak on free speech and try and encourage some of their TDs, some of their parliamentarians to actually fight for free speech against a bill, which I'll get to. But they've got a permanently emblazoned trans flag on their parliamentary building now.
It's like permanent. They do it in NHS hospitals as well. It's like you're sat on a waiting list and dying of cancer while they're doing a trans flag on the side of their child mutilation building.
It's the new religion. They've removed Catholicism from Ireland, or at least Dublin, and replaced it with trans child mutilation.
Why? You would have thought the Irish would have gone, no way.
So would I. I thought they were, I thought they were bold. We've seen videos of them on horseback, kind of saying enough is enough. It seems that's in the country, and I'd love to go around the country at some point. But the city, it's gone.
So what? Were you your usual eloquent self?
I tried.
What did you talk us through? Are we going to be able to see it online?
Yeah, it'll be online. But the reason we were there is because Ireland are pushing this hate crime, hate speech bill, which will affect all of us because Twitter and all the big tech companies are based in Ireland, aren't they? So they'll be policed by Irish law. And this subjective hate term is in their law, which essentially means that Twitter and companies like that will err on the side of caution and just remove our content or remove us from the platform entirely because we incite hate.
Do you think that's possible with Elon in charge?
Absolutely.
He'll just move Twitter somewhere else?
Maybe.
He seems pretty dedicated to the free speech.
Facebook will just go along with it and the others will. Google.
I have to say, I missed the Facebook phase. I do have a Facebook page, but I don't ever go on it. And no. I don't understand Facebook, so I don't really do it. But we do need one free speech platform. Yeah. It's worrying what Keir Starmer said last week when he was going on about I'm going to legislate to against Islamophobia. And I'm just like, I'm sick to death of this bullshit term Islamophobia. Well,
this event that I was at, right? So it's Michael Schellenberger, it was our good friend Andy Ngo, it was Graham Linehan, all people from different perspectives, right? So I'm fighting for free speech from a Christian perspective. You've got Andy Ngo because he's faced Antifa up front. You've got Michael Schellenberger and Graham Linehan who are more liberal in their perspectives. But we're all fighting for the same thing because of this, because we need a free speech platform. We need to be able to speak out against tyranny. Against government corruptions, like stolen elections, or just child mutilation being pushed left, right, and centre. We need a way to say this is wrong.
I think people are sick of it. I really do, and I think the fact that Farage has grabbed culture by the horns and realised, oh, it's culture that is the problem.
Well, it's good that he's waking up to it.
Yeah, basically he's stolen the entire Reclaim Party manifesto, but that's fine by me.
Oh, good. This is why we put it out there, right?
It's amazing what you can achieve if no one minds who takes the credit.
Exactly. But this video you alluded to with Keir Starmer and Sadiq Khan was awful because they were just saying we need Islamic blasphemy law now because people are too nasty. And this is what a lot of this event was about. You know, the Irish Daily Mail asked a question of Graham Linehan saying, you know, do you not think that we need to, you know, you've faced a lot of nasty people online. Do you not think there needs to be a law to cut down on this? And like, we don't police niceness or politeness. But then the Irish Daily Mail said, well, the thing is, Graham, sometimes it's your tone. You could adjust your tone. That's why I said to the Irish Daily Mail, look, this is the problem. You guys want to police the content. And when you can't police the content, you want to police the tone.
You little...
censorious...
They're little feckers, I tell you, Gavin. Calvin. Mm. Father. They're little feckers. They're little fuckers. Sorry, it makes me really, really angry.
The press are the ones who should be pushing back against
them. But they're the biggest liars in the whole world anyway.
Well, this is it. They want to be able to lie, but no one has to call them out for it.
You know what? Everybody is sick of this now. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting. Obviously, we're going to watch what goes on in the election. But I think now that culture is front and centre, people are actually pissed off. Yeah. And this whole rubbish idea of Islamophobia... Well, go away.
You know,
I can take the piss out of your religion. You can take the piss out of mine. I don't like it when people take the piss out of Christianity. I don't like it. But I go, you're allowed to. It's part of living in Great Britain. And I'm really sorry. If you're that upset that I can't take the piss out of your Godhead, then you're not confident in your religion. And also, it's not a religion. It's a cult.
Yeah, it's a supremacy. It's the two-tiered thing is what gets me, that Christianity can be ridiculed and can be silenced and suppressed, whereas Islam has to put on a pedestal. And so it's essentially a blasphemy law. But I looked up in the Oxford English Dictionary, Islamophobia, because I'm always saying, you know, it's not an irrational fear. It's a rightful fear to be afraid of Islam. But actually, the dictionary definition no longer includes irrational fear in Islamophobia. What? It's now a dislike of Islam.
Good.
Should be allowed to dislike Islam.
Why don't we just call it Islam dislikeia then?
But that's going to be outlawed. You're not going to be allowed to dislike Islam.
Tough. I'd go to jail. I'd happily go to jail. Speaking of which, I had a good week this week.
Right. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It was great. That was lovely to see.
That was so good. So my week involved the processes of punishment Met Police concluding their investigation into wasting police time trying to harass and get on me because that little midget dictator, Sadiq Khan, can't cope anymore.
Mm.
And so they've finished their investigation. They'll hand it over to Crown Prosecution Service. There'll be another several months before they decide whether they're going to try and get me for hating ULEZ. But now I can say ULEZ. ULEZ is shit. I can do it. I'm free.
Have they still got your devices and your kids'
devices? No, it's all in the other room over there. Okay, cool. I'm taking them back today.
Good.
Yeah, and we had to replenish all of those, everything. So
that's ridiculous.
Redo it. And I'm never going to use any of those computers again because it's probably got a USB stick plugged up Tom Tugendhat's arse. Sorry. But yeah, so that was good that the Met Police have realised. I got the keys to the new house.
Oh, nice.
Yesterday. So I'm moving back to England.
Oh, good.
Having lived overseas in London for many years, I'm looking forward to moving back to England.
This is the thing, though. We need to make London its own state. It needs to be an independent state, separate from England.
Mm. That's a good idea.
Let's push for that.
How would we do it?
I don't know.
Build a wall around it? We could do what the Israelis do with Palestine. We could just put a wall around it.
Yeah.
And then if people wanted to come out and go to the beach or something.
I don't think we need a wall. The elite are not going to leave. They love it here. Let them keep importing their voters and just...
But they're not going to like it once it really they really find out what they've, you know. It's like, look at the Martha's Vineyard syndrome. When DeSantis or the Texas governor, I can't remember, drove up a bunch of illegals to Martha's Vineyard. That's, I think all illegal immigrants, asylum seekers from Dover should get a bus from Dover to Islington and Hampstead.
Yeah.
And I think that they should be just dropped off in Islington and Hampstead, and anyone with a refugees welcome sign in their window
gets
one for free. Free.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, you've got a spare room.
It's either that or we deport them all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm up for deporting everyone who can't speak English at this juncture.
Yeah, that's not a bad tactic.
It's like, if you can't speak English, sorry, go wherever.
Deport everyone who can't speak English, everyone who's here illegally, and every Pakistani Muslim.
Mm.
Done.
Well, not every Pakistani Muslim. Yes. You get secular Pakistani Muslims.
Well, disproportionately.
You always take it that little
the
bit
Pakistani
too far.
The Pakistani Muslim rape gangs are a massive
issue. It's a major problem,
but
you can't smear
the
entire...
It's safer to just say, look, we're not going to have any more Pakistani Muslims in this country.
I think you're taking it a bit far again, Father.
I think the victims and survivors would probably agree.
Yeah, but we have to acknowledge.
You've got to err on the side of caution there.
Father.
It's not worth it. What do we benefit?
But are you trying to tell me that every single Pakistani Muslim in the UK should be deported?
Yes.
Okay, we don't agree. Because there will be many, many, many Pakistani Muslims who are just ethically Muslim. Well,
they haven't done enough to fix the problems in their community. It is a massive.
No, our police haven't done enough.
And community problem.
It's our police who haven't done enough.
No, because the same thing happens in Pakistan.
Frightened of being called racist. That's why it's our police's job. It's not their job to police their community. It's our job to police. It's the police's job. Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I suppose there is a tradition. Culturally, I can see what you say, that, you know, some cultures have different acceptable standards in behaviour. But yeah. I think we're not going to win the battle with that hardcore.
Oh, I think we have to go harder.
Okay.
This rape of young British girls needs to be put to an end once and for all. And no one's solving it. No one's doing anything to help the situation. It's still going on now.
I know.
So let's just say no, done. No more Pakistani Muslims. This is what Japan did, right?
Yeah.
This is what Russia did.
Do you know what really, really pissed me off yesterday? Was reading Sky News going... We've rescued some migrants from the Channel and brought them home to Dover. And I'm like,
does that not make Sky complicit in illegal activities?
Yeah, but also it's like, hang on, you didn't rescue anybody.
They're aiding and abetting.
Exactly. The language is so backwards, and then they bring them home to Dover, and then the RNLI want a massive round of applause. Yeah. And I'm just like, no. Stop donating to the RNLI, because, you know, I bet you there was someone will have had an inflatable, they would have been out in an inflatable lilo and got washed out to sea at some point yesterday, and the RNLI would have been too busy bringing us our new next batch of totally undocumented cultural enrichers. People are sick of it, and I reckon we're going to see that. I've started to feel about this election that Reform are going to do a lot better than they think. Than people have given them credit for, because we've obviously got our own issues where we think about certain to do with that. But anyone who is saying these issues, we're in cultural decline.
Yeah.
No one is trying to stand up for Britain. I think is going to get much more of a vote share than we thought. And I'll be interested to see how it happens. Also, the fact that we offered the Tories $5,000 to sign up to four simple pledges, and it got taken up by six Tories. It just goes to show. So. The other bunch of you support mutilating children. You support open borders. You deserve to be destroyed.
Yeah, zero seats.
Zero seats.
It's the only way they'll learn.
I'll probably by this time next week, I'll agree with you on the other thing. But the zero seats thing is, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an absolute shambles.
I can buy into the argument that we need to help other countries in other ways. Like support people supporting themselves, help people help themselves.
Yeah.
But we can't help those countries by importing them all their fighting age men over here. And that stands for Pakistan as much as anywhere else. Albania, all these countries where we're taking all their fighting age men. What are we doing that for? Are we building an army? What's going on?
GDP.
I don't care about GDP,
isn't it? Because we're not breeding. So, you know, I think that it's anyway, the breath of fresh air coming in, you actually listen to someone, whatever your views on Nigel are. Mm. I slightly agreed with Yanis Varoufakis, though, which is rare that I agree with a lefty, but I do like him when he said, you've got to be careful with one-man bands, with strong men, because they say, I'll do everything for you. So you don't really need unionization and stuff like that. So there are, it's topsy-turvy times.
But also, Farage is never going to be the prime minister. I mean, not never, but in this election, he's not going to become the prime minister. So he can pretty much promise whatever he wants.
Well, he's also costed it. You know, if you get rid of all that net zero bollocks, it's...
I hope they do. I really do hope reform do well.
I do too.
They still haven't won my vote because they're not speaking out for the sanctity of life. Once they start doing that, they'll get my vote.
I think that issue is rushing towards us. I think the abortion issue is now rushing at Britain much quicker than people give it credit for. And sometimes when we import American, ideological crises arguments, it's for our great detriment, like wokeism. But in this instance, importing the American argument over abortion is going to be really, really important because 200,000 kids were aborted in the UK last year.
Yeah.
Up like over 200,000, up something like 12% or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, that's got to stop.
Like, there has to be a party that is in favour of protecting young, vulnerable people.
Well, there will be.
That includes unborn babies.
There is. Lozzers. But, Farage nicked our manifesto, bless him.
Well, you're not standing.
No, I'm not. And, you know, at the end of the day, some people are born to sit on green seats and vaingloriously talk about things, and others are sort taught to, you know...
Be outside with the placards.
Outside with the placards. Yeah. Moving out of...
Good.
Of London, which is... Ugh. I can't wait, and moving back to England, and I'll see what it's like. So, there's three big things that have happened, and then what else? Oh yeah, we forgot to tell you how the show works if you haven't seen it before, which is that I have an envelope, Calvin has an envelope, and this week we don't have a third envelope because we thought that we'd spend more time at the beginning, talking about various things.
I'm also leaving London, by the way, next week.
What?
I've booked my removals company. Everything's going into storage. Don't know where I'm going yet, but I'm leaving London.
Are you?
Yeah.
Come and live at mine for a while.
Thank you.
But I've got room.
Well, I'd love to stay for a bit.
Yeah. Literally, I've got room. So you can just come and stay there if you want. Unless you want to, I mean, it's quite nice. We go and walk the dogs.
Yeah.
It'd be quite funny watching us strolling around together. It's like, are they married? But you're more than welcome.
The reason I said congratulations is because I thought you were going to talk about your news.
Yes, I'm engaged to be married. Well, I was going to talk about my news, but I've got an envelope.
Ah, okay. So it's not in the envelope.
Oh, it's not in the envelope. Oh, did I not put it in the envelope?
So you announced some great news. You're going to get married to this lovely woman that you've met. How does the media respond to that?
The media, it's hilarious. So, yes, thank you first and foremost, Lizzie, for accepting my proposal. You're the greatest human being I've ever met in my life, and I can't wait to spend the rest of it with you. She's just beyond amazing as a human being. Anyway, the media, the fucking Mail Online, go...
Who are supposed to be on our side.
You would have thought, but not Chris Tingle or whatever his name, the guy who wrote the guy that wrote the article, who's dressed up, who wears a dress.
Why does the man wear a dress?
Because he's an autogynephiliac.
No, it's a kink, right.
It's okay. A kink. So he writes the article and he says...
Lawrence Fox announces he is engaged to conspiracy theorist podcaster Elizabeth Liz Barker a year after splitting from ex-fiancé, just weeks before pair were due to marry.
I mean, there's nothing accurate about that headline.
Not a single word.
So, like, there's nothing... It's not... Okay, let's start at the beginning. Lawrence Fox announces he's engaged to conspiracy theorist podcaster Liz Barker. That's not her name. She's called Elizabeth Logan, soon to be Elizabeth Fox. Just a year after splitting from ex-fiancé, just weeks before the pair were due to marry. I broke up with Arabella in 2021,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. Maybe the beginning of...
It was a good while ago.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. And, you know, maybe 2022, the beginning of. We hadn't even planned on getting married at that point. So that's just a lie. And then my favorite part, which is the truth, is they just, well, the only reason they're going at her in that way, because they can't turn around. If I'd married someone who wasn't, she's mixed race, so which makes fuck all difference
to me. But you're a racist, so why are you marrying someone who's mixed race?
Because I'm not a racist, strangely. And also she's got...
Maybe it's a cover.
It is cover, yeah. I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to just cover. So they can't go racist marries... you know, because that would be really racist. So instead, they just go for an ad hominem on her.
But why?
What? Because they're horrible, evil, nasty little bastards. Yeah. But my favourite bit is when it goes. She's critical. It goes. She regularly appears on the Elite Thinking Club, a critical thinking fringe podcast that touts itself as a show dedicated to. Show dedication to critical thinking, but alias wild conspiracy theories like Diana might have been murdered.
Oh,
is that a wild conspiracy theory? And terrible things like climate change may not be real. Oh, that's a wild conspiracy theory. And also that Jeffrey Epstein might have been killed.
No way.
Yeah.
What? Where's she getting these things?
She also said that in 2021, that the September 11 attacks had grey areas of unanswered questions. Mm. Building 7, anybody? You know, it's like...
How dare she think outside of the approved narrative?
Yeah, how dare she think? How dare she not think like a poor little woke victim of mixed race person who does a Lewis Hamilton and only talks about their black half all the time and never acknowledges her white half? Anyway, she's smarter than every other... person I've ever met. So
she's thick-skinned, so this doesn't bother her, does it?
She's a warrior too. You would not want to mess with her ever. She's a total warrior. So that's the best thing. It's taken me a long time to, I don't like talking particularly too much about my marriage. But I'll tell you one thing: my actual long marriage was the greatest. I'm so grateful for that marriage. It was the best lesson I could have ever learned.
Yeah.
About, you know, what you really need and what you're really looking for in a person. So that is no disparage.
I'm glad you found that in Betty.
Yeah, she's awesome. And we were at a party yesterday. We've been to a couple of parties and people have seen the ring.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to get ahead of this so I don't have to walk out my front door and find some Daily Mail wanker lying in the back of a car getting a shot of, like, your face. Because they can take 1,000 photos in such a short period of time. They just hold the shutter down, and they wait until you're like either blinking or sneezing, and you sort of look like that. And I just go, you know what, I'm fed up of that. So we got ahead of it, and there we are. We are going to have a life, and it's not going to be a life of walking around London fearing for your life.
That is the best news.
Isn't it good?
Yeah.
And it looks like you've got a job. You're going to be doing the old...
Well, we'll have to see how we can sort that.
Yeah. I know. So anyway, that's it's been the best week of my last 5 years, four or five years. How long have I been being punched in the face by these?
It feels like a long time now.
And I'm going to take as well, I spoke to a friend and I'm going to take a little rest from any of the politicking stuff, and I'm going to try and be disciplined about social media, and I'm going to just be quiet.
Is this Larry's influence?
It's everybody's influence. Like Jake, my number two, Jake, is like saying you'll burn out if you're not careful. And I definitely am getting to that point where I'm like, I need a break. So I'm going to take a little break, let some other voices come in, hopefully some younger voices who are also furious about the takeover of these vile people who like chopping off children's dicks and seeing skin color everywhere. And
we have 5 years of this intensity. So you've got to pace. It's a marathon. You've got to pace yourself. Mm. Under a Labour government, things are going to get a lot worse.
And I think our warnings, like, you know, you saw the trans thing. That guy, the Avon and Somerset police, arrested someone for defacing a trans flag. And I'm like, that's why I put the swastika thing up in the first place. If you can't deface a flag...
Well, you can't say anything against this movement. It is a protected movement.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they seem to think they are the oppressors. Oh, sorry, they're oppressed, but they are the oppressors because they are persecuting anyone who dares have an opinion adverse to their own.
They're little Nazis, a lot of them, and I hate them. Yeah. Actually, I don't hate them. I was talking to Larry.
You hate the ideology, but not the people, right?
Well, Larry says that there is a bit in the Bible in Romans when it goes, it says something like, God gave them up.
Yeah.
These people who didn't do it.
Because
I was saying, I don't think people can be evil. It's more that evil works through people. And he said, no. People, if people give themselves to evil, then they get given up by God. And I think a lot of these people have given themselves to evil.
But we're still called to love them. We don't have to like them, but we're called to love them.
Mm.
And so we want to win them over in love and truth, away from the evilness that they've embraced. Unless so we hate their ideology, but not them as people.
Unless them Pakistani Muslims.
No, I don't hate the Pakistani Muslims. I just don't want them in my country. I love them from afar.
Love you from afar. Bye.
Yeah. Stop raping our daughters.
Go home. It's just, I think...
That, you know, the biggest demographic of mentally handicapped and physically disabled people is Pakistani Muslims because they interbreed.
I know.
Every school teacher will tell you this. They all know it and they all just shove it under the rug. Like, we don't talk about this publicly. They are deformed mentally and physically because they're marrying their cousins constantly and keeping their families together. It's not healthy, which is probably why they're raping people, because they're not thinking straight.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of stuff about that, and that's definitely, but that'll be called a wild conspiracy theory.
But it's true.
But it's actually,
the data backs it up.
It's actually just true, and you're.
It's not good.
No, I wonder. So it's very kind of, anyway. That's a sort of totally different area to get into, but you know that it just brings back to the absolute four, which I'm now not ashamed to say is some cultures are better than others, and our culture is being eroded and being dragged down to being the same as others. And I don't want it. I want our culture to be excellent. Yeah. I want the people who are involved in it, of all this different ethnicities, who love Britain and want to champion Britain and bring their excellence to Britain. Mm. You know, and that's what I want to see. I don't want to see us importing people who are there basically just to prop up a sort of failing economy.
I'm literally here straight from the airport from Ireland, and they've got exactly the same situation. Just importing masses of people who hate them, eroding their own culture, replacing it with, not even with Mohammedanism at this point, but with wokeness. And as we always say, woke eats itself alive, so woke will just deteriorate and Mohammedanism will take over. Like, it's all across the West.
Yeah.
Why?
But I think people are fed up.
Mm.
I really sense it. I think we've got the 27th, which will be, I think, 50,000 people.
Amazing.
And we need to get a coalition of people. And we also need to convince Farage that he, you know, just because he's now in the establishment club, that he can't disown people like Tommy Robinson. He needs to be a supporter of Tommy Robinson.
This is true.
Actually, because they want to put him in jail again.
Yeah.
One judge. Mm. I just got an email from a court clerk. And it says the court clerk's name, and it's got her pronouns after it. And I'm like, get out of my judiciary.
I don't need to know your pronouns.
You're a fat, tall ginger bird. I've seen you 15 times, and you're very obviously a woman. Sorry.
But you
don't need your pronouns.
You're not going to be writing about her anyway, so why do you need to know her pronouns?
Yeah. It's like anyone who sends me an email with their pronouns in, I'm just like, you're lost. Hmm. You have no idea. Anyway,
but if it's part of the system, then you're not going to have impartiality. This is the issue, isn't it? Mm. If it's your judges, clerks, and everyone around them, anyway.
I'm not a big fan. You know what my feelings on judicial impartiality are.
For you.
But if they put Tommy down, they want to put him down.
Well, Farage needs to meet with Tommy.
Farage needs to actually say something about it. I'm frustrated
that the next event is on the 27th, because I've already been pre-booked for Turning Point USA on the 27th.
Right.
So I'll be at Turning Point. So I won't be able to make it again, which is really frustrating. But I'm there in spirit. And it's important that this movement continues.
Yeah, it is. Joey Barton.
Right.
To pay Jeremy Vine £75,000 over defamatory post. Joey Barton has apologised to Jeremy Vine and agreed to pay him £75,000 in damages for making defamatory comments on social media. A High Court judge ruled last month that comments... former footballer Mr. Barton made about BBC presenter Mr. Vine on X were defamatory. Mr. Barton said in a statement, grovel, grovel, grovel.
That's not the one I thought it was going to be. But I've seen Jeremy Vine tweeting today that Barton has to apologise and pay him 75 grand.
Mm-hmm.
What for?
Yeah, what does Jeremy Vine, who's on 700 grand a year, I don't want to get that wrong, but he's on a lot of money. What is he on Jeremy Vine's salary?
What's Jerry said to Jeremy Vine?
He started calling him I don't know if I can say it, because if I repeat the defamation,
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know the law anymore on this. I just know that Jeremy Vine is a spiteful sod, and he would, if I made a mistake.
Jeremy Vine's always been all right with
me. He called him a bike ponce, but with one of the P, right. the P.
He does. Change. He is obsessed with his bike. Those videos of
he's just obsessed with telling people what they're doing wrong.
Right.
And Joey, look. Joey Barton is a person who will say what he's got he's a very clever guy, but obviously because he went to football ahead of high academic stuff, his just brain is much, much faster than his kind of, you know, stacking up. He's a bit like me in that way. Like, I didn't get formally educated, so I'm not very good at sticking to a point. And I mean, I got formally educated at Harrow, but I didn't get formally university educated.
Yeah.
So Jeremy Vine earns loads.
Well, there's an authoritarian streak in the left that wants to control everyone and how they think and how they speak. And
yeah.
I see that in Jeremy Vine's attitude, and particularly, obviously, it plays out in this as well.
But also, to call someone a bike ponce with a slight different... It's like, grow a pair, man. And he only did it. He said Joey Barton had a brain injury. That's where it all started. Because he was taking the piss out of Enya Luko, the female footballer. And
the female footballers?
Yeah.
Wants to watch women's football?
I don't know. I hopefully it'll get better. I have people in my family, girls who play football, so I have to be...
But nobody wants to watch women's football.
No.
I can admit that.
Really don't want to watch women's football. And I suppose it's quite interesting when they're young,
right?
Because girls grow that little bit, you know, quicker than boys. When
girls play netball or tennis, or girls sports.
I've watched girls play football when all kids are sort of all prepubescent and stuff, and you get some really good ones, and it's good fun. But the minute boys go through puberty, it's game over. But Enya Luko is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. She's totally bought up.
Is she the really woke one? She did this for equality or social justice rather than just enjoying the game.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and she got taken to task over, you know, she all got this sort of thing about, you know, they're black supremacists, essentially, a lot of them. So Joey started taking the piss out of their commentating skills, generally, as men, which, by the way, you know, everyone wants to do.
Right.
Because, you know, there's some very funny memes going around on the internet of where she's just said the most ridiculous things. And you just see the other pundits looking at her going, what are you talking about, babe? Yeah. So that's where he started. And Jeremy decided that he would say, what's wrong with Joey Barton? Has he got a brain injury? I mean, one could say that's very offensive.
That's quite offensive.
And libelous.
So he's trying to discredit his opinion because of an injury.
Mm. But so Joey did what I did. I mean, I have to say, was slightly more sophisticated than Joey's, which was retaliate. Because you do want to retaliate when someone...
calling someone a paedophile is slightly more... slightly better than saying a cyclist ponce.
Mine was so obviously rhetorical.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I quoted what they said.
Is this true? The judges even acknowledged that it was rhetorical.
Yeah, the judges even did before. But it shows that all the institutions are captured because the lefties are, it's like, well, they say something horrible, then they start crying about it. And then they say something horrible, you retaliate, they start crying about it, then they take you to court, and the courts, because the court's totally captured, they win.
Yeah.
So we need a complete dismantling of all of these corrupted institutions if we want to have anything resembling a functioning fair society.
We need to encourage the next generation to have more resilience so that they're not afraid of nasty words online. All of this comes down to free speech, doesn't it? Trying to shape our culture so that no one's ever offended. Like, we need to grow up a bit, really.
It's pathetic that people think that they have a right not to be offended. I mean, and it's, you know, the people who don't want to be offended, they're the people that, if you, in the very rare occasions I go down my timeline, say things like, I hope you die, I hope Lizzie dies, I hope your kids
die. They're the most hateful people.
I hope you're left with nothing.
Yeah.
I hope you're, you know, it's like, you're the B card, and they've always got B card.
I never understand this. The people, especially in your comments, says, Billy this, Billy that, they really want to get the digs that go beneath the belt, because they know it will hurt you.
Well, it doesn't hurt me.
But they think it will hurt you. But these are the people who do it because they think you're a hateful person.
Yeah.
It's like, in what way do they not see that they are the ones who are hateful?
Well, I hate
I'll never understand
that. I hate to quote someone very close to me, and I know people get very upset when I say this, but imagine how stupid half the world is. And then, no, imagine how stupid the average person is, and then imagine that half the world is more stupid than they are.
Yeah, I really don't buy that one.
You don't like it? Why not?
I don't know. I don't think most people are stupid.
You don't think people
are stupid?
I think
it's cognitive dissonance. I think it's people actually can't see. They can't self-reflect. They can't see what they're like. Like, we need to all look at ourselves. And, you know, as Christians, I often say we need to look at our own sins, right? It's the same in the real world, in the online world. You have to look at your own nastiness. And, you know, I'm one of the first to snap back on Twitter when someone's and that's I have to try and stop myself from doing that. But do people who attack you or me not see that that's what they're doing? But even worse, because they are launching hate, literally hate at us.
But you're not a troll. I'm much more of a troll than you are. Like I go at people quite hard, but I try not to go at them personally. I try to go at their stupid ideas.
Yes, always.
Right. It does stick in my craw, this, you know. But I think there are there's a proportion of the population which one should worry about, which will just, you know, if they announced another pandemic tomorrow, everyone would just go, yeah, okay, back into the house then.
Yeah, they're conditioned, aren't they?
Who haven't curiously...
But it's probably the most intellectual people that are the most conditioned as well. It's the academics, it's the elite.
Yeah, because they just hang out with each other, and they hang out with each other in their very privileged lives, in their very privileged circumstances, and they sit together and they talk about how they feel sorry for poor people.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
Yeah.
While going, do you want another blini with wild smoked salmon and cream cheese on it?
Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does sound good. I had one of those last night. That's why I remember.
Of course you did.
But that's what these people do.
Yeah.
They have no concept of what it is like to not think exactly like them.
No.
And that is a worry. That's a lack of self-awareness, which I think could borders on stupidity. Mm. Anyway, so our thoughts on Joey was a bit silly, didn't really deserve to be fined 75,000 quid.
I still genuinely don't know who he is or what he's saying. I don't know much about him, but I just see this whole every time I see his name.
Newcastle, he was an ex-Newcastle footballer. Right. He's a
this
scouser.
Is just my ignorance. I know nothing about football.
He's a scouser. He was a good footballer. Really, really, you wouldn't have wanted to play against him. Yeah, he's not big, but he was a good footballer, and he was tough. He was like, you wouldn't have wanted to play against him. Right. He played hard, and he comes from the wrong side of the street, if you know what I mean. Didn't grow up with any privilege at all. He's very clever. He's outspoken. He's been outspoken about the problems he's had with his life, with his own mental health, and getting better and curing it. And now he started a podcast. Just stood on the landmine,
okay.
Which everyone wanted to say.
Does he still play football?
No.
Okay.
He's too old now.
I was going to say, it's risky having a podcast if you're still playing.
Mm. No, he just mocks the wokery in football.
Good for him.
And he's been very outspoken, and I really admire him, and I think good for him. And you need these voices. Otherwise, you know, however people criticise him, and, you know, I was saying to Larry, actually, I was speaking to him yesterday, that it's interesting that the secular rationalists don't get behind the Christians when the woke left do get behind the Islamists. So the Christians and the sort of the even the critical thinking ethical Christians, they can't even support each other.
No.
Because there's a jealousy. Well,
yeah, the Christians can't even support each other. This week I've been attacked by a good friend of mine, someone who's been a mentor of mine, the person who I used to speak to when the Church of England were essentially forcing me out, Dr. Gavin Ashenden. I did a podcast with Taylor Marshall, who's a high-profile Roman Catholic. And I think there was a bit of perhaps envy there or something, but just personally attacking.
Really?
And yeah, I'm like, this is the Christians can't even stick together and say, well, we need to fight for truth and for Christ. Like, we're attacking each other, nibbling at each other. It's like, why? You know, the whole argument was, oh, Calvin's wrong on this. I'm like, okay, so let's have a conversation. Let's have a dialogue together. If you want to talk about me publicly, let's have a public conversation. He was like, no, because you just don't understand. And I'm like, well, if I don't understand...
Explain it to me.
Yeah, if you know...
Am I too stupid to understand?
Maybe you're smarter than me, maybe you're more educated than I am. Give me a reading list and then let's have the conversation. Because if you think you've read things that I haven't read, which I that might be the case, but I know we've read a lot of the same stuff because I know where you went and I know where I went to theological college. But give me a reading list and then let's have a debate. So he's like, no, because we'd end up falling out or something, blah, blah, blah. And instead, it just goes and puts these videos and these clickbait titles or Calvin exposed, Calvin this. It's like, first of all, this is not healthy for the kingdom.
Ingracious, isn't it? It's not, that lacks grace.
Well, it's just hurtful because I can take the attacks from the left. I can take the attacks from the enemy because we're used to that. Because we're all fighting for truth, goodness, and beauty. But when people who are supposed to be on our side are the ones attacking us, it's kind of like, what are we doing it for? What's the point? Like, why do I bother? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay, do it. If you want the platform, take the platform. I'm not here for the platform.
Yeah.
I'm here for the mission. And if you want to denigrate the mission, then you take the platform, do what you can do with it, because at the moment you're just tearing us down.
Yeah, I missed all that. I haven't seen it. I will have a look out, because I always was rather fond of him.
Yes, same.
All right, well let's not get too morose, love.
This was the funny thing about the panel yesterday. Our good friend Andy Noble, I love him to bits, bless him, but he's like, everything's rubbish. The world's going to end. We're all going to die. And Michael Schellenberg is like, come on, let's have a bit of good news, Andy. And he's like, okay, I'll give you some goodness. Yeah, we're going to die slowly.
I always think that I find it odd that someone can be conservative and not Christian.
When Graham Linehan was another one. Like, you can see he's really been damaged by all of this. He's been wounded by all of this. I feel sorry for him because, you know, he's got a lot of good stuff to say. We don't agree on most stuff, but he's got a lot of important things to say. But he's been a target of all of this. And it's just like so many people that you stand up for something you think is right, like women's rights, and that's it. Your whole career, your whole life is demolished because this is how they react with the horrible cancel culture.
Well, we're sick of it.
We're sick of it.
And also people should know that what cancel culture comes first and then people cancelling comes second. You actually get cancelled physically from living. That, and, you know, then people need to know that. That, you know, just watch and read about the Weimar Republic, which is essentially what we're in now, and see what comes next. And it's not nice.
It's not good.
And that's why we fight for it.
It is. What have you given me?
I thought this is a bit strange, this one.
Rich leave London in droves for Florida, Dubai, and Paris, as UK has world's second biggest millionaire exodus. Millionaires are leaving the UK faster than any other country in the world except China. New data shows as the rich ditch London for Dubai, Paris and Florida. According to the Henley Private Wealth Migration Report, 9,500 millionaires, wow, defined in the US dollar terms, left the UK last year. Only China, which has more than twice as many people with seven-figure net worths, saw more millionaires leave. So more people are leaving London than anywhere else in the West. Coincidence that we're about to have a Labour government? People are afraid of being taxed to high heavens, and so they're just taking their money and going. This is why high taxation culture doesn't work, because poor people are going to be left with the tax burden of Labour's policies. That burden is going to fall on the rest of us because the rich are out of here.
Do you think... You think that the rich are leaving? I think the rich are obviously going to be leaving for financial reasons, otherwise they wouldn't be rich in the first place. Right. But also there's an element of people wanting to get out of London specifically.
Yes.
There's something about London which can't bear.
No.
It's horrible.
Like, you and I are both leaving in the next few days. All these millionaires are leaving too. Like, there's something clearly pushing people away. And it's this metropolitan liberal elite's obsession with taking over and controlling every single aspect of our lives, from what we say to how we think.
Well, at least I'm allowed to. My bail restrictions have been lifted, so I can say Blade Runners. Ha ha. I can say it now.
You haven't been able to say that for a couple of years.
I haven't been able to say that since February or something.
That's crazy.
So Blade Runners.
Great.
You Les is a scam. It's all bollocks. Ha. This is the thing, right?
We've got to take control of our lives and take control of our cities. Do we wall off, like you said?
Wall off our cities. Just not wall off, but just go, the cities are where the bad ideas live.
Both. We've got to leave. I'm retreating from the city because I think this city in particular is lost.
What about Oscar Wilde? When you're tired of London, you're tired of life.
Oh, maybe I'm tired of life then.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think London is life anymore.
No, I don't either.
But when we see these things, we've got to act like those first child mutilation flags you burned were ones that I ripped down because I was staying in a place that was outside of my control. I had to stay there. This is where I've been put up. But they were everywhere. I'm like, I'm going to take these down.
Yeah.
And gave them to you. And then you were like, no, I'm going to burn them. But, you know, I'm in favor of this kind of direct action at this point. We've got to do something about it. We can't just be like, oh, this is horrible, isn't it? Like, what are we doing about it? And Blade Runners are active.
They are. You've got to be quite careful what you say still about Blade Runners, because if they get you on conspiracy to commit criminal damage or supporting those who commit criminal damage, your prison case or your prison sentence or your fine is directly correlated to the price of each camera.
Goodness.
So if the police can say to prove to you that your words resulted in, I don't know, 50 ULEZ cameras accidentally dying suddenly for no known reason, and they value that each camera, I don't know, 50 grand.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at maths, but I can see quite an almighty fine there. But I am so against this surveillance state. Like, give me one thing in London which gives you joy. There must be something.
The architecture.
Yeah.
I love walking down Regent Street, St. James's.
Not during Pride Month, I know.
No, but most of the Crown Estate, it's just built beautifully.
Yeah. Like
the old churches, St. Paul's Cathedral. I mean, don't go in it because it's incredibly woke now.
Is it?
And Westminster Abbey, maybe for Evensong, but not for a Holy Communion service. But we've got so many great, great, beautiful buildings here.
Built by people who had aspiration, who looked at, you know, in that, my favourite line, we used to stare at the sky and dream of a place in the stars, and now we stare at the ground and think about our place in the dust.
Yeah.
From that film, the Christopher Nolan film, the space one, brilliant film.
I keep saying, we have the shell, the beautiful shell, without the substance. Mm. And other countries, you know, this is the West in general. And then you look at the New World and they haven't got the beautiful shell, but they've still got some of the substance. We need to bring some of that back. I don't know how that works. The old world and the New World need to meet together somehow.
Well, it happens, but the future's being built for us. You just need to go to Vauxhall. And I actually was really moved today when I was driving through Vauxhall, when they're putting up these, they're going, this is what you're going to live in, whether you like it or not. And that's going to cost you £1 million.
Yeah, and it's ugly, it's awful.
For not that many square feet, you're going to get for £1 million. There's a little balcony that wide, so you can sort of get some fresh air.
Everyone's
or not.
Crammed in on top of each other.
But I saw three little terraced houses.
Oh.
In a row, right in the middle of all of these vile, disgusting skyscrapers. And I thought, they said no.
Yeah.
So they had the power to say no.
Yeah.
And people did resist, but most people, you know, I take one look at London and I go, I am never going to live like a rabbit.
Mm.
I'm not a rabbit. I'm a human being. I'm not a battery hen. I'm not what you think I am, Sadiq Khan. Someone who has to go at 20 miles an hour, which is impossible. To drive at 20 miles an hour. And it was, it's like between first and second gear. So it's heavily polluting.
Mm.
And I can't bear going at 20 miles an hour. I can't bear you filming me wherever I am. I can't bear being charged to do anything I want to do. What all of these policies do is they remove the joy from life. And the only way you can, what is it? Something breeds joy eternal, whatever it is. There's this idea of you take the hope away from someone, they don't want joy.
No.
They just want bad ideas. And they start trying to justify these terrible, terrible ideas.
But they don't make our lives better. Like,
no, they're horrible.
Coming here today, I've been on camera like half a dozen times or even more, right? But if I was mugged or abused or assaulted, they wouldn't be able to help. The police wouldn't be able to use all that footage to help me. They can only use it to incriminate me. Why is that?
Because they'll get you in a bus thing because it's got cost money.
So they'll find a way to make money out of me, but they won't find a way to help me if I'm in trouble.
I am not going to miss these hateful, horrible marches, these vile, racist, anti-Semitic marches. I'm not going to miss. I'll tell you what, where I'm going to live, if I see a Pride zebra crossing, that's going to be vandalized.
So am I going to be arrested now for supporting the Blade Runners?
I think you just have to be careful about how you
put it. I am not endorsing crime, but I'm saying if there is an immoral law, we're not obliged to follow that immoral law.
Yeah, I don't think that flies with the judiciary, I'm afraid, Carl. I think what you're allowed to say, you're not allowed to directly, which again, I think is kind of an insidious thing. You're not allowed to support people in committing a criminal act.
Mm.
And what they do to get you is instead of what they do is they lower the charge down to the lowest possible charge they can do. And magistrates can give people up to, I don't know, I think they can give them up to 2 years in prison or something like that. I don't know what the exact law around it is, but you can, they'll lower the charge down and they'll get you. And they'll do this over free speech. Mm. They'll do it over, they're going to tell, and the reason why I'm getting out and the reason why you're getting out, and I'm hopeful in the way that I've set up my move that people don't will never find out where I live. I've made sure my name's not on anything.
Good.
Because I am that scared. Mm. Not scared because bollocks to these people. I'd go down, I'd die for what I believe in. I really, really would. They've radicalized me that much that I would give my life for it. They're going to start taking scalps soon.
Oh, yeah.
And when the Labour government come in, this Islamophobia thing, they're going to start taking scalps. They're going to go, if you criticise Islamophobia, it's going to be a hate. And people will just sit there going, oh, I don't know what to do. Look what they did to that guy. They put Calvin in jail. Yeah.
Well, these laws, the laws in Scotland are awful, but the laws we were talking about yesterday in Ireland are awful. This intent to incite hate. So, and it goes as far as if you have... material on your electronic devices that you may be intending on sharing. So for example, if you've got memes on your phone, right, they can say, well, you had that meme there because you're going to share it. That meme is a hateful meme. Then you're in trouble for that. All of it is in, like, they're assuming your intent. So you don't have to actually commit a crime. It's the pre-crime.
Yeah, that it's thought crime. It's what do you call it? Yeah, it's pre-crime. It's a minority report. It's why these people do it. Like Sadiq Khan, they don't ever obey their own rules either. They're always driven around in big gas-guzzling Range Rovers while everyone else gets screwed for having a car that isn't, is more than 6 years old or whatever.
Yeah. Or buy a diesel. No, get rid of your diesel.
Yeah, exactly. All it is about, as my mum used to say, is power and control.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to resist that. And I actually think that we need to enervate people to say, look, guys, enough is enough now. Mm. We're fed up. You've got a political party, whatever. I know that people go, they don't go far enough and they're not, consistent, certainly on the cancel culture stuff.
No.
Nigel, has had both of us cancelled quite.
Right.
He wanted that. So,
Well, the right's no different from the left. The right want the power too. They want control too, just for different means. Yeah. They will also cancel people and they will also take that power and say, well, we're going to help your lives in this way or that way. Actually, what we need is a smaller state.
Yeah.
The state should control the borders. The state should provide emergency and security, and that's it.
That's it.
The rest of it should be up to
us.
What
about education?
No, the state should have no hand in education.
But so you shouldn't have free education?
Well, that's different, isn't it?
Well, because
we used to have free education before we had state education.
Yeah.
The church set up the schools in this country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And most of the world, actually.
Yeah.
There were Christian schools, and the churches covered that. And, that was based on donations. But so people who couldn't afford to pay still had a free education.
Harrow was started that way.
Well, that's the whole point of private schools in the first place. They were there to help people who couldn't afford to pay for school, and then suddenly it became more about revenue than it was about charity, unfortunately.
Mm.
But charity was the way this country used to run.
They
not
haven't
state.
They haven't. Rachel Reeves, our incoming chancellor, hasn't thought the VAT on private schools thing through very well, has she? Because that's to take VAT to add VAT to an already expensive private school bill is not going to affect, in the same way as diversity, equity, and inclusion doesn't help a poor black kid who's got no education. It helps a rich black kid who's got all the privilege in the world and is now just getting the job because they happen to be black.
Yeah.
This idea of putting VAT on school fees is only going to hurt those families who work bloody hard and go, my kid's going to go to a good school.
Private schools, like grammar schools, should be helping people who don't have money but have good academic ability. That's the whole purpose of it. It's supposed to pull people up. And they've put a barrier there in most of these private schools, unfortunately, because they want to make money or they have to make money.
And she wants to get rid of selective classes.
Oh,
and,
no.
And it's like, hang on a minute. I told you this was coming, by the way. And I did say it's the next iteration of the woke virus, which is intellectual equity.
Oh, yeah.
Which is to say that no one's more clever than anyone else. We're all the same intelligence. And if you're not as intelligent as someone else, you're being oppressed in some way.
Yeah.
And that's what this is, to say that you can't have selective schooling so that kids from poorer backgrounds who are bright and smart can't get a really good start in life. It's like, come on, guys. Yeah. I think people have just got to go enough. And what I'm optimistic and hopeful about, about this incoming Labour government is we finally got an enemy. Because for the majority of people who aren't engaged in politics and stuff like that, they thought we've had a Conservative government.
Right.
We just haven't.
No.
And now we're actually going to get a Labour government with the Race Equality Act and this stupid schooling stuff and the fact that it's going to be the highest tax burden ever.
Oh, gosh.
People are going to go... People have got something to punch back against. So, you know, come on the 27th of July, make yourself heard, find communities. Tommy's very good about that. He's always going, you know, make friends with each other.
Yep.
And Peter Whittle's doing it in the New Culture Forum. He's getting these little groups across the country because we get the only way this... I don't think there is a political solution.
No, there isn't.
Unless you start saying there's a cultural problem, which you've got to say there is, which Nigel has said, which is great.
Yep.
There is a major, major, major cultural problem going on in this country. Mm. And the way to solve it is through the people.
Yeah. We make up for culture.
We are the culture.
Yeah.
And now we're not the London culture, which is good. I'm pleased about that.
Yeah.
I'm not, I will not be getting in my car, driving behind a bunch of removals vans, removing the small number of things that I own in this world to go to my new house, and I will be driving out of London and I will be going like that in the rearview mirror, because that's what this city has done to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's really sad, and I pity those that have to remain in it.
Yeah.
And watch it decline.
Which is part of the problem. You know, I often get black cabs and I ask them, why are you guys, I often say they should be the ones voting for the London mayor.
Yeah.
Because they are the people on the ground, but none of them live in London anymore. They've all been priced out and pushed out to the east, which has happened to a lot of actual native Londoners. So there are very few people in London that are Londoners or even are British. So we can't take it back. There's no democratic means to take it back.
No, it's not. It could be any Western city other than the architecture. It could be any city, any woke city on earth.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't think it is savable. I don't.
So we can abandon the cities, but how do we stop them coming from the towns and the coastal areas?
Because the villages? Smaller communities are much more difficult to infiltrate,
right,
which is why they try doing that. Yeah. It's why you get those incredible things in Wales where they'll go and try and fill up a village of 250 people with 300 immigrants.
Right, yeah. And you're like, they'll just put them all in a hotel somewhere, yeah.
And it's like, no. And smaller communities are stronger because they work together. They're not, you know, they're just... I lived in the country for many years, and when people were suggesting really stupid ideas, the people came together very, very quickly. And that's why the countryside hasn't been ruined.
Yeah.
Little bits of it have. And of course, they'll come for the country. But I'm not... as I always say, this is my home and I've got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And, you know... It's fine. I don't mind moving around within my home to find somewhere where I can be, where I can actually feel like I live in my own country.
Mm.
But I'm done with London. Goodbye. I wouldn't, as I've said with you in conversation before, you could a £20 million house. I wouldn't live in London.
The same.
I wouldn't.
It's not worth it.
No.
Because it's not just cultural, it's spiritual. It doesn't feel good to be here.
No.
It's not a good place.
It's a hate. It hates everything that Britain is.
Yeah, it's anti-Britain.
You know, and they're not even teaching kids anything anymore. So, you know, you try and walk around and go, that's Nelson. And they're like, who's Nelson?
Mm.
And you're like, jeepers, creepers, Battle of Trafalgar.
The episode where we leave London.
This is it's not quite the episode where we leave London. Well, we've got an episode next week. Do we? Or are you at...
I'm here.
Oh, you're still here. we'll be living in the countryside together.
Yeah.
You can come and stay. Come and...
The episode in the countryside.
We'll do an episode in the countryside because I'm going to build a studio.
Cool.
Well, I've already got a studio, but I'm going to get King and Will come up and help me set it up so I can do a sit behind my desk and say what I reckon.
Mm.
Because I think we need more of that. More people who are brave, who stand up and go, this is wrong, this is bollocks. And not necessarily standing for Parliament, but for, you know, like we've got a campaign. I can't say what it is at the moment because the people that we're going to do it against are going to cotton onto it. But come September, somebody who has been an organisation which has been going after people is going to be gone after themselves.
Good.
And it's about time that we started fighting these little bastards back and shoving them back under the rocks they came from.
Because they can only cancel us so many times.
Yeah. And every time they cancel us, they make us stronger.
Exactly.
Except that, well, they make you stronger because you're like pretty chill. But
my recent events, they said, can you talk about when you were cancelled? I'm like, what do you mean when the Church of England cancelled me?
Or which cancellation?
When GB News cancelled me, or when the Conservative Party cancelled me? But I'm still here.
You're right? Still here.
We are still here. They can't keep cancelling us.
No, it does, especially if you're tough, and that's why you're important. And I've said it before that you in any other time, in any other world, you'd be a role model. But now you're a threat, and that you should work with anyone who feels like a threat and feels like they're threatening the narrative, the status quo, the establishment, hoo-ha of, oh yes, we can't say that, can't mention any issues which actually interest and bother people. Yep. Stand up and start saying it out loud, because yes, we are the millions of us. There are millions of us who are as pissed off as you and I are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I promise you, cancellation hurts the first time, but after three or four of them, it's actually quite nice.
And you need it. You need to be cancelled to wake up.
What's your message to our Fox and Fathers fans for the week? What should they think about this week? And also, we must do the... You've got to remind me this week that we've got to get there, because we asked for questions.
Yeah.
Right. We've got to get Jess. Okay. I'll get Jess.
So next week. Yeah.
Okay.
Embrace the cancellation. Speak the truth regardless. And stop being afraid.
Stop being afraid and speak the truth. Thank you for joining us on this week's Fox and Father. It's been a bit spicy, but we've loved it.
I'm going to get arrested after this episode, so bye.
No, they came to try and arrest you. That would be unbelievable. But I won't put anything past these people now. Like, they're gonna take some big scalps, of which you and I will definitely be on the list of people like that want to take us down. But there is a higher authority than these twonks.
There is a higher authority, right? Yeah. We work for the higher authority.
We work for the other guy. We work for the higher authority.
We work for the big guy.
Not, hello, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Exactly.
God bless you all.